Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Katya Allison. So what have you gotten yourself into? Together, we are decoding marketing to make it accessible for everyone. Cut through the BS and get down to the nitty gritty. And in each episode, you will walk away with a nugget or an insight that you can bring into your professional and sometimes, dare I say, even your personal life. So stick around and take a listen to all of the knowledge bombs that are being dropped in every episode. And in this episode, I am joined by Jason Kramer, who is the founder of Cultivize, which is a consulting firm that specializes in B2B lead nurturing strategies and technology. With 15 years of experience running a creative agency, Jason has really helped well-known brands bridge the gap in their marketing and sales funnel. And today's episode is all about AI. And we get into the power of AI in business strategy and how it's changing the way we work. Jason shares insights on how to use AI strategically to improve your efficiency and scale your business without getting caught up in all of the hype of AI. Intentional prompting, automating what goes on, repeat, and even analysis. We even get into how to approach AI if you're a little on the fence or maybe a little too scared to use it because it comes across more complicated than it is. AI has the potential to help businesses connect customer data with marketing campaigns and sales activities to drive results. So grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Jason, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing Podcast. Very excited to have you on here today. We will be diving into one of my favorite topics, which is AI. And more specifically, we're going to really be diving into how AI can help us be more efficient. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Katya. Appreciate it. Well, happy to be here.
I would love for my guests to get to know you a little bit better. So let's start off with some really easy questions here.
Sure.
I'd love for you to share with everybody what your current role is.
Sure. So I am the founder of Cultivize, based in New York. And I've had this business for 6 years.
Very nice. And what do you love about what you do? But be prepared, with the good comes the bad. I want to know if there's anything that you don't like about your job. We all have something. So let's start with the positive. What is it that you love about what you currently do?
What I love is taking organizations that don't have a systematic way to nurture, track, and convert their leads and giving them a sustainable process that's repeatable and be able to pick up on those lost opportunities that typically fall through the cracks when they don't have a system in place. So they're spending a lot of time and money to generate leads and they're just kind of juggling, you know, and balls are dropping everywhere. So it's really refreshing for me to be able to see just in a few months' time, how much more organized and efficient we can make them through the work that we do with them.
Oh my gosh. You are preaching to the choir when you say that. I was literally having a conversation about that this morning already, about like being able to, the health of our CRM, right? Because you're only as good as the information that you put into the system. And if you're not efficiently or effectively doing that, then how do you know these leads are even the right leads? We'll definitely dive into that. But like I said, with the good comes the bad. What, if anything, I have a magic wand, Jason. Yep. If I had my magic wand, what could I pluck out and magically take away from your day-to-day of your job?
What can take away in terms of a positive or the negative? That's what was my question.
You take it wherever you're going to take it.
So I think that if you had something to take away, I think it's my ability to look at multiple aspects of a business and their problems, not just on the sales side or the marketing side or operations, and figure out how to tie all those things together, again, to kind of solve these bigger issues that are, you know, kind of strangling, if you will, the company, right, to really grow and to get over this hump. So I think that's my ability to kind of just sort of think of it like as a throwing out a 1500 pieces of a puzzle on the table. Like I'm able to see kind of like all those different pieces that kind of fit together and how to bring it all together.
That's what you like about it.
That's what I like about it.
But I want to know what I could pluck out. Is it how many pieces there are?
So I think so what you can pluck out is the part where it's just two pieces. One, people are habitually set in their behaviors. So getting people to change behavior and to do something differently could be a challenge. Sometimes it's more than something I can, with my own powers, change. And I think it's also, you mentioned something, Katya, which is really important about like consistency of data. So like the frustration where we can set somebody up for success, but they just keep putting really garbage into their systems and there's nothing we can do about that.
I'm really wishing I had that magic wand myself as well too at this point. So that's the good, bad, ugly where you're at now. I'd like to know how you stay up to date with the trends. Is there a podcast? Are you a book reader? Is there a newsletter? Are you just scroll on social media, or do you have people kind of give you information so you're staying up to date with the trends? How do you stay up to date?
Yeah, it's a little bit all of the above minus the books. I found that...
Okay, not a reader.
I used to be a reader, but what I found is that, you know, by the time books, especially now, sort of get into market, and this is sort of like a lot of, and I'm actually working on a book myself, so it's kind of like funny that I'm about to say what I'm about to say, is that a lot of the books out there tend to have approaches that are a little bit old, right? Things are moving so quickly. And so, you know, depending on what you're trying to read, I find myself reading more for entertainment value than for business and education value. That being said, yeah, social media for sure. I mean, specifically, there's a lot of people I follow on LinkedIn. I do a lot of podcasts myself, but I also listen to a boatload of podcasts. And I find a lot of great insights and nuggets there as well. And that's where I think I get most of my information, you know, is podcasts and just on social. But I think that the downfall also too, to one thing to add to that is, you have to be mindful of kind of what's BS, what's real, and what also could apply for you. Yeah. There's so much out there that you could sort of get caught up in this sort of spider web of things that won't have any impact on you or your business or your life, but it sounds cool. And so you sort of go into that rabbit hole. I would say that you probably shouldn't, and kind of stay on the line of really what's going to make the most impact for you.
I call that kind of like riding the trend wave. Not all waves are meant for you but I also think, you know, you have to be really reflective as a business owner, as a marketer, as really anybody in business as to what is valuable for you, like of that information. It may be trending, but if it doesn't affect you at the end of the day or affect your customers, right? Or what it is that you're doing strategically speaking, then it's kind of like one of these things that should just pass by. And I'm right there with you as well too, from like business book perspective. I am a voracious reader, so I love to read business books. And some of them are dated, but others, like still the foundation of certain things, still ring true. And I always find that really fascinating, the things that regardless of trends, like you still have to do, like, you know, data health in your CRM and all of that stuff.
Oh, now, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like Michael Malkovich's book, Profit First, I don't know if you read that one, but that was like a great book where it's like foundational, and it's teaching about how to, like, you know, make your business more profitable. And so it doesn't matter if that book was written 10 years ago or 2 days ago, the foundation, you know, and that's something that actually made a huge impact on my business. So yes, I should have said that. Yes. As far as like the trend stuff, those things sometimes tend to get out of date, but the foundational books for sure, definitely helpful.
For sure. Well, let's dive into it. We're here to talk about just how we can leverage AI for efficiencies. Well, I like to focus on marketing, but I think it applies to everything. Mm-hmm. So what are some kind of common areas where you are seeing that AI can really make processes more efficient?
So there's one that, and this timing today, Katya, of this conversation is so like just on point. I'm very big component of LinkedIn. Not all of my clients are B2B, some are direct to consumer, but I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn more than any other social platform. And as you may know, and listeners know, it's a time suck. I mean, if you really want to get in there and you know, be integral in terms of bringing your opinion and your comments and your thoughts to people you follow and to providing comments and to doing all the things that make you what I would call an influencer, right, on LinkedIn, it takes a long time to do that. And it's like, I mean, you spend 10 hours a week doing that and you still may not even be to the point you need to be at. And who has time for that? And so a tool that actually I know from a fellow colleague, somebody that I've known for a long time. Funny enough, I heard about his new product on a podcast that I was on. He was on after me, which is pretty cool. It's a tool called Evy AI. So it's EVY AI. And what it is, it's a tool specifically to make you a rock star on LinkedIn. Nice. Just to give you a quick example, you could go in and click a link and there's, in the last 24 hours, everybody that's posted something in your network where no one else has commented. So you could be the first one to provide a comment on everybody that you're connected with. You can also have different ways to filter out people that you want to follow and also provide comments. And so what it is a way to use AI to not only create engaging comments on other people's posts and keep you top of mind, but there's also an idea generator. So it helps you get inspired for creating your own content on LinkedIn. And it's just an amazing tool. And I'm like totally obsessed with it.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out after we're done chatting, because I think LinkedIn is a really, you're right. I don't want to say time suck, but it is a time suck. I know that I will spend like on a weekend going through my messages, because I like to reply to messages, but you're taking a look at everything that's going on. One of the things that I really like of what you said is the idea generator, because I think that a lot of people just see it as a form of posting, but when you can see how other people are engaging, especially in LinkedIn, because it is, I think, one of these platforms that is changing for a business. I can see it's trying to be a little bit more social, but I think like networking is always going to be the top game of LinkedIn when it comes down to it. So I like the use of AI in this example that you've given, making you more efficient in building out your personal brand, and then giving you just kind of ideas for how to build and present yourself as your personal brand. And I think you could use it for business as well too. Do you see the ties for being able to leverage it from a business perspective?
I do. And ultimately, right, everybody says they're not selling, but everybody's selling, right? If you're in sales. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? So even when I'm commenting, I'm trying to build influence for myself. But what's cool about the way that this tool works is that it uses both your own persona and the company persona for the company you work for.
Okay.
And so that it uses that in the natural language that it creates. So it might be an article about something and it'll naturally weave in as a CRM consultant or in the world of CRM, we find this as it relates to what you're talking about. And so it's not selling saying, hey, this is what I do. It's saying, this is my experience and this is how it ties into what you're talking about. So in that respect, I think it's very helpful. But the one thing I will say about LinkedIn, it's completely oversaturated with a lot of like just garbage and automation. And so it is difficult, I think, to be, you know, extremely effective, depending upon your business, you know, building real, authentic new connections that have some type of value. Either you can give value to them or they can give value to you. You know, I get bombarded like with hundreds of invitation requests every day, practically, of people trying to sell me stuff that doesn't even relate to my business and what I do, right? And so just going about it in a really bad way that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But that causes a problem for people like me and you and your listeners who are trying to do the right thing and going about it the right way. And so it's sort of like, you know, the one bad apple ruins it for the bunch kind of, you know, scenario. So that's why I think you have to be even smarter and more strategic with LinkedIn to get past all that clutter.
Well, you bring up a really good point. I think, especially as it pertains to AI and really honestly being efficient, people are using it without being strategic and without thought, right? Like, hey, let me just push this button and it's going to do all of the things. There is a lot of thought that actually goes into how you leverage AI effectively versus just using it, right? I think that to me is the way that I see the difference. There's leveraging it and there is just, you know, pressing play. Without any thought behind it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, you know, I use ChatGPT all the time. I mean, it's And there's other tools I use out there. There's a new one that I've been testing called Orchestrate, which uses more of like neuroscience to kind of get, you know, through to people from that perspective, messaging. But the point is that I don't just say to ChatGPT, hey, you know, create an email campaign for me or a newsletter. It's like I give it direction, but then I also correct it. I make changes. I feed it and make it do what I'm looking for it to do based on what my goals are. And so I think these tools are quite powerful, but to your point, you need to know what the prompts are. You need to know how to leverage the tool versus, for example, I mean, you know, you hire a contractor to build you a house. If you don't tell them what kind of house you want, how many windows, how many floors and all these things, and say, just do whatever you want, you're probably not going to be happy with the result, right? Because it's not going to be what you're looking for. And I think that's kind of like the, you know, a very sort of maybe silly, you know, analogy, but I think that's the world of AI, is that the tool is so easy to use, but it's like so many people don't know actually how to use it the right way.
I couldn't agree more. And I love your house analogy. For marketing, I'm always using like the building the house analogy, but I love that you leverage is apparently my word today, that you're using it as it pertains to like AI as well too. You have to be a really strategic prompt engineer. Mm-hmm. And I use AI in business all the time to be a little bit more just kind of efficient. And honestly, especially like when I work from home and it's a little bit of a mate for me of like, we're going back and forth. Like, what do you think about these ideas? And it's really shaping things in a way. And I really do think it makes it more effective in that respect. But I'm curious, what are some of the most powerful, outside of what we've talked about, the most powerful AI tools available that you see right now for marketers as it like relates to perhaps like CRM, you know, data hygiene or email marketing? Like, what are the most powerful tools that we should be have our eye on?
It's a good question. Well, I mean, I think there are some tools that are even outside of AI. I mean, email hygiene, you mentioned, which I think is an extremely important topic, which a lot of people don't even know about or overlook. You know, people are either buying lists, which, you know, there's some, you know, issues there and you know, contention on how good the quality is of lists you purchase and the, you know, theories behind that. But even data you have from 5-10 years ago is probably not good. And so, you know, companies are not even going through and cleaning those lists and doing a hygiene check on the email address. There's a great tool called Webula, W-E-B-U-L-A, which is one of the top companies out there that does email hygiene cleaning. That's something that Cultivize does too for clients, right? We'll take care of that process. And it's not about just cleaning the list. It's knowing about how to use the data that comes back and what to do with it. And that's really like, you know, where we specialize. You know, I don't really use too much AI out there. And I've tested a lot of it because a lot of it I found just doesn't really work, right? It's like there's so much startup AI out there that I've used it enough for a number of years that I can break those systems pretty quickly. And then when I see like the results aren't coming back, I'm like, okay, is this tool really, you know, working to do what it's supposed to do? But here's an example tying into CRM. Just recently, I had a client who is a national-based business. They were going to a part of Texas. And they're like, hey, Jason, I'm going to be here. I want to try to find all the customers we have and prospects in this area. Is there a way to do it in the CRM? And I said to him, I said, no, Paul, there's not a way to do it directly in the CRM. I said, but we can export all that data out. We have your zip code and the address of everybody you have in there. And we can put it even to ChatGPT and say, hey, build me a visual map of where everybody is in this area and plot out like a route for me so I can go visit these people. And so that's something where we can use, again, ChatGPT in a different way to process data. And I think that's really where, to me, not answering your question, but seeing the direction of where things are headed, I think AI processing data in CRM is really going to be the next evolution. You know, there's so many people, as we talked earlier, that have so much information, whether it be in their CRM, in a spreadsheet, in their ERP system, whatever tools they have, in QuickBooks, and they just really don't know how to use that data to their advantage or leverage it. And I think that's where machine learning and AI and, you know, look at the commercials, right, leading up to the Super Bowl, right, for AWS and how much they're doing to compute all these things for the National Football League, right, that they weren't able to do before. It took them so much longer to do. but now they have this mass computing power to be able to spit out all this information that's, you know, some of it's relevant, some of it's not. But the point is that it can handle the process data in a much more specific way than it could in the past. So I think in a roundabout way, answer your question, I think AI is going to like leverage more in CRM as it relates the data you have rather than like making something do something, right? That's not already there. Another specific, really quick example, we do a lot of work on HubSpot. HubSpot has an AI tool they've been testing out that can predictively build out like workflows and lead nurturing cycles for you. So if you put some information in there, it'll recommend the triggers and the delays and all the different things you need to build out a workflow. Time will tell how well that really works, but there's different things happening like that right now.
I really like the example that you gave from like a data analysis perspective, and you gave it from like a sales perspective. But as you were saying it, my mind went to, from a marketing perspective, events. You know, if I'm planning a road show, I to be able to, you know, give AI the information of like, hey, here are my customers, give me a map of where I should create event road shows where like there's a larger population, which to me is super exciting. And I'd love to be able to leverage it in that way. But it does also bring up this question of data security, right? Especially from a ChatGPT perspective, because it is an open AI. If I'm inputting all of that information, what's, you know, am I violating privacy laws of some sort? And I know that you're not a lawyer, so please, nobody take this as legal advice. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, I think that there are some valid concerns when it comes to data that you're putting into an AI tool to ask it to analyze it.
Well, without a doubt. And even for this client, Paul, like we didn't suggest, hey, put in email addresses and customer names. We just said, put in the physical location of your customers, you know, in a generic way, because that data does exist. If you go to Google Maps, the information about the name of the company where they're located is already public knowledge. So we weren't. So I agree. You know, you have to be careful of what you're uploading and putting in there, because, yes, you're right. It is for public consumption.
Yeah, that to me is always the scary part. And I think it's one of the reasons that people kind of hesitate a little bit to embrace AI because of those kind of concerns. But there's also this like AI is going to take my job, right? Concern of like, if I can just give it all that information and it can do all of that stuff, how can I protect my job? What do you say to people who are hesitant to adopting or embracing AI as kind of a tool in their toolbox?
Well, I say to them, you know, think about why you want to use it or what's keeping you back. You know, one thing I always say over and over, software doesn't necessarily solve a problem. It can help, but it's the people that help have to come up with that strategy, right? To say, okay, what problem am I actually trying to solve? And so, you know, I think there certainly are people. I mean, look, you know, copywriters, you know, you don't hear about them as much anymore. They're still relevant. They're still important. Truth be told, I use ChatGPT to create a ton of content for our business. Now, that doesn't mean I take the content right out of there. They're still wordsmithing. They're still moving things around and changing things, but it cuts out, you know, like 70% of the work to say, hey, I was on Katya's podcast. Here's this transcript, you know, now created an article for me about our interview and our discussion. And so it's our conversations, our language that's being used to help drive that, but it's technology that's just doing all that synthesizing of information and putting and packaging it all together, right? And so, but I think it also is, and this is kind of funny, right? So this isn't a, you know, a quick story, but, you know, aside from everything, my wife, who's not, you know, in corporate or in business, you know, she actually doesn't work, but, you know, we were talking about ChatGPT for a while and like, and she never used it, never really knew what it was. And she started kind of using it, and she uses it now for everything. And the most like funny, ridiculous things, you know, like she like walks dogs, you know, she's something she does. And so, you know, one of our clients wanted her to come by, and it was like last minute. She's like, I don't know how to like respond or whatever. And she used ChatGPT to like, you know, write a message that didn't come across too harsh. I'm like, that's hilarious that you're using it for like these like things, you know, or she like you know, come find recipes. I'm like, I found it on ChatGPT. And I'm like, I never thought of using ChatGPT to find recipes, you know? It works better than Google, right? So you say, these are my health restrictions. I try to find this dish, but I don't want it with cream. I don't want it with butter. How can it be modified? And ChatGPT does an awesome job at like giving you that information. So I think it, you know, for the people that are scared for it, my recommendation is maybe use it for something on a personal side like that, right, versus business, and get comfortable with it to see really what it can do. So I don't know. I think it's different for everybody, but it's something that shouldn't feel overwhelming, because it's a simple tool to use, but it's also could like draw you in easily too, right? Because it's so easy. You could be like, you look up and you're like, oh man, I've been on this tool for, you know, 3 hours on this app. Just, you know,
it's just going back and forth. That's hilarious. I do think also one of the things that can be my observation, at least one of the things that I think can be confusing for people who are trying to use AI is they use it like it's Google, but it's not Google. You know right. what I mean? Where like, if you open up Google, you're searching for something. And I think that you're almost doing AI a disservice if you treat it like a search engine.
Yeah, I think yes and no. I mean, I would agree, because like we have clients that use AI, for example, so here's a good one, right? So a lot of our clients are manufacturers and B2B businesses, and sometimes they struggle before they start working with us, or they try to internally create, you know, like an email campaign, right, to go out to prospective clients. And it's all about like me, we, like here's what we do, and like, right? And it's like marketing, you know, 101, no, like that's not what you do, right? And it should be about them and their problems and their, you know, the solutions you have for them and how you've done it before and all these things, right? And so I find that ChatGPT specifically and some others are good, where you can say, okay, like go on online, right? Look at our company, you know, build out a persona for who we are, what makes us different than our competitors, find our top 10 competitors, you know, what are their differences to us, right? And start building out like this, a value proposition, if you will, right? And then once you have that profile, then you can say, okay, now reference this profile you built about what makes us so amazing and the problems we solve and who we do it for and the industries we do it. And now write my email campaign. And specifically, I'm going after like medical device companies. And I want my email campaign to show the problems they typically have in manufacturing, right, their products, and how my company solves those problems. And now you have something really compelling that's super specific. So I think in that respect, you could use AI to do a little bit of the research, but yeah. I would say yes, you wouldn't use it in the same way that you would use, you know, Google to search for something else. Yeah,
you can do so much more with it. And now I guess like Google has the AI feature as well too, that aggregates all of that information at the top before you even get to the pages.
Yeah.
Now, what is your advice for someone who does want to get started with AI to be more efficient? Where do we get started?
Well, I think the place to get started is to understand like, what are you trying to do? Like, you know, is it something that is a task-related issue, meaning like you're doing something that's very manual, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're taking all these spreadsheets and you're trying to synthesize information, or you're trying to, you know, like I'll give you a quick example. Like a lot of times we, specifically for the CRM work we do, data has to go in a very specific format, right? And so before AI, we'd have to like manually do that, work that file in, say, Excel, right, to put into the format we need. Now we could use some, you know, AI to say, okay, take this original file and here's the format it needs to be in. Please put it in this format. And within like 30 seconds, the format's done, you know? So that's something where if you have a job or a role where you have something that's very repetitive or mundane, or it takes a long time to do something like that, that I think would be a good place to start experimenting. I think if you're somebody that really has no clear objective of what you want to do, like think of something simple, right? Maybe it's something even about your business. Maybe start there, where it's saying, okay, like, create a persona for my business. Like, you know, and here's a good one. We talk about marketing. I think that most businesses, I don't want to say most, I think a lot of businesses do a mediocre to fair job at really explaining what they do on their website, right?
Yes. And
it's either outdated because things have changed, or it was never good to begin with, whatever the case may be. I think you could use something like ChatGPT to say, here's my website, go to my website and look at it and say, what do I do? Who do I serve? Right? How do I help people? What sets me apart from my competitors? Who are my competitors? And maybe that's just simple asking those four or five prompts. And you might be really surprised to be like, oh, wow, like, you know, this isn't so good, right? You might also find that it's not also accurate. And here's an example. I was using ChatGPT over the weekend to really test out how well it's scraping LinkedIn, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I said to it was, I said, I want to reach out to agency owners that have more than 25 to 50 employees in the United States and in Canada. And I want you to compare what you find to my profile on LinkedIn to find out who's most likely to accept my invite when I reach out to them. And I knew I was going to get back like a short list of 25 people or so, which is what I got back. But what it failed to do was it said, it looked at my profile and it said, as a photographer specializing in commercial photography, right, which I don't do.
Which is not your occupation.
And I'm like, where did it even find that information? It says that nowhere in my profile. It really can't scrape LinkedIn like accurately. So I'm not even going to bother going any more forward. So, but I think that would be something where I think if a business owner is looking today, or maybe if it's even somebody looking for a new job, you know, like here's my resume, here's my work history. Like, how could I stand out, you know, for this position I'm applying for? Here's information about the job, you know, please research the company, right? And tell me, you know, how I can really sell myself. Like, it'd be a good way to kind of generate ideas, you know, I think for some of those scenarios.
It's a good tool to have in your tool bag, honestly. Now, we've been talking a lot about ChatGPT, but are there other AI tools that you think like people should get a good start on?
You know, you've asked me a couple of times. The reason I skated around it, Katya, is because I really don't use that many, right? I found that ChatGPT is really one of the ones that works really well. The other one I told you earlier was the Evy AI, which is specifically for LinkedIn, which I think is phenomenal. So there's no skin in the game for me to suggest that, but it's just a good tool, you know, built by someone, you know, that I know and respect. And he really thought of everything when building that tool. So those would be the two I would suggest, you know, in this conversation.
Yeah, I think I like to make sure that there's no other hidden tool out there outside of that, because I myself have tried several of them as well too. And I always go back to like a ChatGPT or an AnyWord, right? Because I think that they all serve a specific purpose. I don't think that there's like a one size fits all, like this is the only AI tool you'll ever need. I think to me, where I see the future of AI being more effective, not just for marketers, but for businesses, is AI getting more specific with the niche that they are in, right? Where like a ChatGPT is great from like a general perspective, and you had mentioned the one that's really much more focused on LinkedIn. I think where AI is really going to win in the future is building out those niches so that they're really good at what it is that they do. But I'm curious if you feel the same way or if you see the AI trend going in a different way in the future.
No, I think there will be. I mean, there'll definitely be in the beginning, I think it'll be more sort of generic. But, you know, as the technology evolves, again, you know, it's really behind the people behind the technology who are building it and using it. So like I can see, you know, AI playing a huge role, let's say in the medical, you know, community for, you know, if right now you get reminders, okay, your dentist appointment is in 2 days and, you know, and all these different things. But I think AI can play a role in helping automate a lot of like the follow-up and automate a lot of the messaging and things like that in specific industries. I mean, specifically think about like we talked before about like building a house, but like the home construction industry and even like home services in general, whether you need an electrician or a plumber, they're notorious for not getting back to you. You're leaving a message, like not showing up in time or, you know, or some issue just dealing with them. And it's so hard to find like local good contractors. I think over time, I think AI will really help those small, tiny businesses where they're, you know, 1 to 10 people, 1 to 5 people to, you know, book appointments, to follow up on things, to get back to people in a way that's not complicated. You know, right now they don't, they're, and we work with a lot of those businesses too, a little bit larger. I mean, I'd say they're, you know, the $7 to $10 million range that are in a home service business. So they're not like one man, one truck, you know, they're, you know, 20 men, you know, 15 trucks, but even them, they struggle with like how to leverage technology, even at that scale. So imagine somebody that's much smaller than them, you know, and that's something that I think is really important to help, to your point, service, you know, those niches with AI is going to be a huge game changer.
Love that. I could talk AI all day with you. I've got one final question for you. And that's, if you knew then what you know now, what's the advice that you give to yourself?
So it's the same advice that, and I guess that's this question a lot, and not say it's a bad question, it's a good question, but you know, your audience has not heard me answer it. So I'm happy to answer it. I started my first business, which was a web development and boutique marketing agency back in 2002. Okay. This was before virtual agencies existed, before, you know, really, you know, it was either agencies or like freelancers pretty much, you know, like there were no like in-betweens back then. And so the advice that I would have given myself, you know, I started my business because I was what they call a skillpreneur. I was a graphic designer. I was hustling on the side while working for full-time at an ad agency. And I decided to just, you know, start my own business and see if I can make it work. And so I figured out things as I went. Right. And started understanding what profit margin was and how to manage the books and how to do all these different things. Right. How to do sales. Like I wasn't a salesperson. Eventually, and it probably took me about like 4 or 5 years after running the business to start hiring a sales coach, hiring like a business advisor, hiring all these different people to help train me up to understand, like, am I doing anything wrong in the business? What could I be doing better? Had I known that from day one, I mean, my business would have definitely been a lot further along quicker than me trying to figure it out as I went along doing it on my own. And that's not because I was stubborn. I just didn't know things that were out there like business coaches and sales trainers. And back then it wasn't as relevant, you know, and information wasn't as available as it is today. I mean, back when, I know it's like 20 years ago, but my point is that, you know, it's something that would have made a huge difference. So I think that's something that, put pride aside would be my advice, you know, and try to bring in people that are smarter than you, that know something that you're not an expert in, because I think they could bring really good value and advice to you.
I think that is great, sound advice to give. Put pride aside and really, you're not alone, right? Like, if it can feel like you are, but you're not alone. Those are great, just kind of final words. Thank you so much for coming on here and just sharing your insights on how we can be more efficient and not afraid of AI. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. I hope that you found that episode just as insightful and interesting as I did. I'm ready to dive into my key takeaways. Key takeaway number one, prompt like a pro, AI needs your brain first. Now, what do I mean by that? If there's one thing we're not talking about enough with AI, it is that it is only as smart as the person using it. Crazy, right? AI is not some mind reading wizard. It needs good direction. The way you prompt it, the clarity of your goals, and how well you understand the problem you're solving, that is what determines whether it gives you gold or garbage. Think of AI like a GPS. If you don't plug in the destination, it can't get you anywhere useful. Research backs this up too. Prompt engineering is quickly becoming a skill set all on its own, especially in marketing. Tools like ChatGPT or others are incredibly powerful, but they need strategic prompting. Just like a designer needs a solid creative brief. Jason made a great comparison and used an analogy I love using with anything marketing. It's in regards to building a house, right? Think of it like hiring a contractor to build a house. If you don't tell them what kind of house you want and how many windows, how many floors, bathrooms, open concept, and the list goes on, you're probably not going to be happy with the results. You're basically asking this contractor to be a mind reader. It's only, and that's the same with AI, it's only as good as the information you put into it. If we want AI to be useful and helpful and create meaningful work, we need to stop treating it like a vending machine and start treating it like a partner. It's not just about using AI, it's about knowing how to talk to it. There we go. Prompt engineering. I'm off of that hill because that is the hill that I'm going to die on. I also have an episode where I dive into how to put together a really good prompt. There is a formula to it. So definitely listen back to some episodes a few episodes ago. Now, key takeaway number two, save the brain power for strategy. Let AI handle the rest. One of the biggest misconceptions about AI is that it's all flash and no function, but some of the best use cases are incredibly unsexy and wildly efficient. It's not about asking AI to write your next viral post, although it can, maybe, but don't think of its primary use as that. It's about offloading the repetitive, kind of mind-numbing stuff so you can focus on strategy. Examples of these types of tasks are formatting data, writing LinkedIn comments maybe, or even generating summaries from transcript uploads. These are things that would normally take you like 30 to 60 minutes, but with AI, they can take you like 30 to 60 seconds. And the research checks out with this as well. McKinsey reports that marketers who adopt automation for these types of tasks see significant increases in both productivity and creative output. To me, the analogy that runs around in my brain, the analogy that runs around in my brain is it's equivalent to using a copy machine. Sure, you could hand write every document, but that's a waste of your time when a machine can do it faster, cleaner, and more consistently. AI is the same way. It's not about cutting corners. It's about cutting out the time-consuming stuff so you can focus on the work that actually moves the needle. And my final key takeaway, don't be a scaredy cat. Start with the small stuff when it comes to AI. Because let's be real, AI can feel intimidating. It's fast moving, it's always changing, and let's face it, sometimes the hype makes it sound like it's coming for our jobs. It's not. But I challenge you to start with something small if you're feeling hesitant about it. Jason shared what his wife does, but I think that it definitely is a great way to kind of dip your toes in. So use it to rewrite an email to sound more professional, or even plan a meal, or generate a blog post title. You don't need to launch your entire business on AI to begin learning how it works. In fact, research shows that AI adoption is more successful when users experiment first in low pressure environments. So generate gift ideas, create a shopping list, have it summarize an article for you. Or one thing that I love for it to do is to teach me something that I've been wanting to learn, for example, and maybe something that's a little bit more technically heavy. So I have it explained to me a technical subject in layman's terms so that I can really understand it. And better yet, I have it explain it to me. Wow, I apologize. I've been so tongue-tied in this, in my key takeaway today. But my point is, I have it explained to me something very technical in not only layman's terms, but I also ask it to use it in an analogy. And I can even pick the analogy if the one that it gives me isn't working. It's a great way to break things down to help you understand. No risk, just curiosity and usefulness. That's how we get past the fear, not by diving into the deep end, but by getting comfortable in the shallow water first. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear it. A very special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike, and thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.